And welcome to the Mystery Barn Podcast, Season 1, Episode 2. I'm Heather, and thank you for joining me today as we take a look at our next case. This podcast includes discussions of a violent nature. As is the nature of true crime, this program may contain information that is not suitable for listeners under the age of 13. Listener discretion is highly advised for this episode. You can listen and follow this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and several other podcast platforms. You can also follow me on Twitter at Mystery Barn Pod or reach out to me at mysterybarnpodcast@gmail.com. With that out of the way, let's get started. It is the early morning hours on Monday, April 18th, 2016. Many people are probably still in bed, sleeping until the sounds of alarms awaken them to get a start to the work week. But for one person, morning is starting earlier as they rise around 3:30 a.m. to prepare for their class. Unbeknownst to them, someone else has also started their day early with plans with something far more sinister and deadly. Born Terry Leanne Strickland on August 9, 1970, in Graham, Texas, to James C. and Norma L. Strickland. She was commonly referred to as Missy, so from here on out, we will be calling her Missy. She grew up in Jacksboro, Texas, with two brothers, an older brother named Clifford and a younger brother, Clint. Missy was outgoing and had many friends. She was very helpful and motivated. She graduated in Jacksboro High School in 1988. She attended several colleges before graduating from Tarleton State University with a Bachelor of Science degree in 1995. Missy would go on to meet Brandon Beavers, and on June 20, 1998, the two would be married. Always motivated, she made the decision to return to school and get a teaching certification in special education. She would teach for several years before embarking on her next journey in life. That journey would begin with the birth of her first daughter in 2001. They decided that Missy would stay at home and raise her. They would later welcome two more daughters over the coming years. Missy had a very strong foundation with God. She had big dreams and encouraged the people around her. She was known to be caring and was inspiring to those around her. She developed a passion for fitness, believing in the importance of being fit, both physically as well as spiritually. It was no surprise when she decided to become a Camp Gladiator instructor to help people. Camp Gladiator is an intense four-week training session that focuses on community-based intense fitness training. It is physically demanding, and instructors are all STAR certified with nationally accredited organizations. Instructors hold these sessions in outdoor settings in different regions around the United States. This is how Missy came to hold her training sessions at the Creekside Church of Christ in Midlothian, Texas. Having checked the weather forecast for the following day, Missy would send a message out on her Facebook page to let her fellow gladiators know, and I quote, "If it's raining, we're still training." In 2016, Midlothian had a population of around 20,000 people. It is located in a remote area set back a little from the main road. It has easy access from a highway, but it's not in an area surrounded by much. When looking at pictures of it, it is a good-sized building with lots of trees and open areas around it. The nice roomy parking lot would make it ideal for a workout training session. There was also areas available for use in the event of bad weather. She got her stuff together and started her trek over to the Creekside Church to prepare for the Camp Gladiator session that would begin at 5 a.m. Sometime around 3:50 a.m., the sounds of broken glass could have been heard had there been anyone to witness, as an unknown person forces their way into the Creekside Church of Christ on the north side of the building. It is then, at 3:50, the cameras inside of the church pick up the first images. Completely covered from head to toe in what appears to be police SWAT gear, we see the suspect begin wandering around the church. Their head is covered with a shiny black helmet, and they appear to have tactical gear, and they have a vest emblazoned with the word police across the back. My first impression of this is that the outfit is not actual police gear, but costume or replica type clothing. The shininess of the helmet is not in keeping with a typical police helmet, which is usually more of a dull matte finish and isn't reflective. I actually thought I was looking at something like a modified baseball or softball umpire helmet. Which brings me to the vest the suspect is wearing. Across the back in white lettering is the word police, but underneath that I see a series of ridges. And from what I have seen and know of police vest, this does not seem in keeping with the usual appearance. I'm going to go back to that baseball-softball theme, as it clearly looks like it could be an umpire type of vest. In one part of the video, you can see in the left hand that they are carrying a hammer. In some shots, the hammer is in the right hand. They also appear to be in possession of a pry bar or a crowbar, as they make a feeble attempt at prying a door open in one part of the video. Along the way, the suspect is walking in a calm, relaxed, almost shuffling manner. The suspect also appears to have a very distinct gait. At certain points in the footage, the unknown person walks in almost a feminine way, leaving it open as to whether the person is a male or a female. They also appear to have some sort of impediment or issue with their right foot. It points outward, and at times it seems to almost drag or shuffle, almost seeming to hitch at times. I've gone back and forth on this several times, and it appears they are possibly wearing shoes that are too big for them. This could account for some of the awkward shuffling gait, but at some points in the video, it appears that this may be part of their natural walk. I will include links to the video in the description so you are able to see what I'm referring to. There is definitely a very creepy vibe to the way this person is just walking around, meandering, and not in a hurry whatsoever. I'm going to fast forward for a few minutes, and then we will come back to this. At 4:16 a.m., Missy Beaver's pickup truck pulls into the parking lot on the south side of the Creekside Church of Christ. At 4:20, she appears on video surveillance cameras as she makes her way into the church building. What she doesn't yet realize is that these will be the last few moments of her life. At 4:35 a.m., one of the participants in the morning's class arrive in the parking lot. At approximately 5 a.m., the first 911 calls come into the Midlothian Police Department. Midlothian Police, along with EMS, would be dispatched to the Creekside Church of Christ in response to an unresponsive female found lying in the church building. In under 10 minutes, emergency personnel would arrive on the scene. Unfortunately, it would be too late. The officers would find Missy Beavers lying among lots of broken glass with multiple puncture wounds to her head and chest, wounds consistent with the tool seen held in the hand of the suspect. She would be pronounced deceased at the scene by the Ellis County Justice of the Peace. A search of the building revealed the evidence of forced entry indicating a possible burglary. Nobody was found in the building at the time of their search. At the time of the original search, it hadn't been determined if anything had been stolen. It would later come to light that nothing appeared to be taken, and Missy had also still been in possession of all of her valuables. Could this really be the result of a wrong place, wrong time? A burglary in progress that Missy was just unfortunate enough to stumble upon? Or was there something more sinister at work here? Rumors would circulate of potential financial troubles and marital struggles with questions of infidelity for both Missy and her husband, Brandon. Could this possibly have been a planned attack, a jealous rival, an angry spouse, or a relative hell-bent on revenge or retribution? So many questions and so few answers. Even 5 years on, these questions still remain. Who murdered Missy Beavers and why? Was she targeted? Did the murderer break into the church with the intention to specifically kill Missy, or were they just there to burglarize the church? It was a Monday, the day after a Sunday church service, where they may have thought collections from the previous day would still be at the church before being deposited. But it is a far jump from petty theft to murder. Initial scrutiny of the video surveillance would show a perpetrator who appears to be heavyset. This could be the case or could be the result of padding. The walking style and appearance tend to support heavier. The police would later release a statement putting the murder suspect as being somewhere between 5'2" and 5'8", which puts us again without anything definitive to say whether this could be a man or a woman. Another video would surface from a parking lot of a nearby business. SWFA Outdoor Store has 17 cameras recording the parking lot, and at approximately 1:58 a.m., a light-colored 2010 to 2012 Nissan Altima or Infiniti G37 can be seen driving around the parking lot. It displayed some odd behaviors, such as turning the lights on and off as if in an attempt to not draw attention. It remains there driving around the lot for several minutes before disappearing. There's also reports of a dark SUV leaving the parking lot around 4:30 a.m. As far as I know, the police have been unable to locate the drivers of these cars. The video can also be seen and will be in the links with the show notes. As is customary, when violent crimes occur, focus always shifts to the family. Women are far more likely to be killed by a spouse or an intimate partner than by a total stranger. So let's take a look at the husband, Brandon Beavers. With rumors of financial and marital struggles, this seemed to be a good starting point, but it wouldn't take long for authorities to rule out Brandon. He was some 600 miles away on an annual fishing trip in Biloxi, Mississippi. Warrants would be issued to AT&T for cell phone tower dumps within a five-mile radius of the church between certain time frames. As interviews were being conducted and more information came to light on the days prior to the attack, warrants would be issued to Facebook, LinkedIn, and a local dry cleaner. One person interviewed said that Missy had shared with her in the days prior that she had received a strange message that was creepy in nature on the social platform LinkedIn. I don't know if police were able to track down with the warrants or if the information was found to be not relevant. But police combed through messages and social media trying to find something that could possibly tie someone to this heinous crime. Within days of her death, police would receive a call from a dry cleaner's. Randy Beavers, father-in-law to Missy, had just dropped off a bloody shirt. A warrant would be issued, and the bloody shirt was seized. Randy stated that the blood on the shirt came from a dog. At a news conference, he explained that their chihuahua had been attacked by the dog of a relative, and they had rushed the dog off to the vet. Sadly, the dog didn't make it. It was determined that the blood on the shirt was indeed that of the dog. It wouldn't take long for social media to start casting out lots of theories and speculations. People noticed that the father-in-law had a similar build and height as the alleged murderer, and that he walked in a similar manner. It would also be determined that he was out of town and nowhere near the church on the morning of Missy's murder. Police quickly ruled out family and close friends. Going back to the time of the break-in, we see the surveillance video portions that were released to the public and see a suspect wandering around the halls of church, leaving open doors and breaking glass. If this person had the intent to ambush someone, would this be likely behavior? They were also wandering around the church almost a full half hour before Missy showed up. We don't necessarily see the broken glass in the video released to the public, but the police would indicate that glass was present on the floors. The person came covered from head to toe, making identification very difficult. This makes me think that they were aware of the cameras and made efforts to conceal their identity. This also indicates that this was planned. But what part was planned? The burglary? The vandalism? The murder? They obviously planned on breaking some laws, given the lengths taken to conceal their identity. I read something that stated that this was the first week of the new session for Camp Gladiator training. Did the person responsible for this crime not anticipate anyone being there for hours? Would that explain the reason why they don't seem to be in a rush or seem to be just meandering along the hallways without much real energy and effort? Out of respect for the family, I don't plan to go into much detail about some of the many speculations that float about on social media. I've tried to present factual information and accounts and pose questions that could be helpful. This family has suffered unimaginable horror and grief, and I certainly don't want to add to that in any way. My focus on this podcast is just to keep her name out there so that people will remember the face and the person behind this tragedy. Missy and her family deserve closure on this. The person who committed such an incomprehensible attack on another human should not be allowed to walk around free. This type of attack clearly indicates that this person is a danger and a threat to society. Anyone with any information should reach out to the Midlothian Police Department. There are many ways a person can make an anonymous tip. They are: call Crime Stoppers of Ellis County at 972-937-7297. Or you can call the Midlothian Police Department Criminal Investigation Division at 972-775-7634. You can also private message the Midlothian Police Department on their Texas Facebook page at MidlothianTXPD. Tipsters may be eligible for a cash reward, and as of April 2021, an anonymous donor has offered to increase the reward to $150,000. As much as we would like to think that we live in a world of relative safety, it is hard to ignore the fact that true evil does exist out there. This senseless crime robbed the world of a daughter, a wife, a mother, and a beacon of light to many people. Someone knows what happened. One can only hope that someone will come forward with information that will lead to the arrest and conviction of the person responsible. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Mystery Barn Podcast. If you have any comments, feel free to share below or reach out to me at mysterybarnpodcast@gmail.com. If you have ideas or would like to see a particular case covered, feel free to reach out. You can also connect with me on Twitter at Mystery Barn Pod. I'm your host, Heather. Thank you, and until next time. Sources used for this podcast include Missing Persons of America, Focus Daily News, the Midlothian Police Department Facebook page, various articles on newspaper.com, the websleuths.com forum. For additional sources, please see the show notes. There will be links included. Thank you.